What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We're broadcasting live from the Nest, fourth floor of Signia by Hilton, right across the street from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And Mike, tonight, Thursday Night Football, everybody again will be paying attention to our Falcons.
Right. Woke up this morning. I was watching NFL Network Good Morning Football. They're talking about Bijan Robinson, talking about Pitts, talking about our offense. Is this the night where everything finally clicks and we play for four quarters? And I'm not going to say four-cylinder. Hit all eight cylinders with this offense. Put some points on the board.
That's what we got to do, man. We got to score more points, be more efficient on third down. There's no doubt about it. We are going to talk plenty about our Falcons here over the next couple of hours as we broadcast live. But we have to start with what happened last night.
Oof.
And it felt like it might be okay until it wasn't. And for Max Fried, I'll be honest, Mike, I feel bad for the guy. You know, the last three postseasons, something bad has happened that has not allowed him to perform at the level in which he wants to. And last night, he gets hit in the glute and ends up having to leave this game.
I mean, he gets out of that jam in the first inning. You know, it just I can't imagine a more difficult way. If, in fact, this is Max's last game as a Brave to go out, you got to come out in the second because you just are tight. And Snicker said he tried to give it a go. He just wasn't feeling it. But, man, it was like 1,000 tiny cuts. Those little dribblers. I mean, Baltimore chops. Things you never see. And the Padres, a team that can beat you a number of ways, just get out of base with small ball. And then Fried obviously can't go. The bullpen steps up. And I thought the Braves were coming back. I thought there was some clutch. We saw Michael Harris. We saw Soler battled back for a minute there. There's a lot of puckered butts there in San Diego as the Braves are making the comeback.
Big O back at the studio today. Can I hear Snit talk about Fried being hit? Because, Mike, when he warmed back up, he looked fine.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm never going to challenge a guy's toughness because he's battled injuries, but it's like, really? That's the way this thing's going to go out?
You got hit
in the butt?
True. And so he warms back up, Snit and company, they walk off, and I'm like, okay, he's okay. Then we get to the second inning, and we realize he's not, but this is Snit talking about it.
I mean, if you noticed in the first inning, he was reaching back for some extra. He hit 97, 98 last night. So, I mean, Fried was definitely going to give it all he got. So, if it's just affecting his mechanics and he can't do what he needs to do, then you got to get somebody who's 100% out there on the mound. It just seems so surreal that it's going to end like that.
Isn't this, though, Braves fans, our season?
In a nutshell.
Isn't it? I mean, your last hope is Fried, who's been great in the postseason, has won, you know, helped us win a World Series, and this dude gets hit and it has to leave because of injury. I mean, it just simplifies what kind of year this has been. And all throughout the course of the season, Mike, I think we had one game or one week where we had the same lineup for the Braves. And then after that, you started to see the injuries rack up. And then all of a sudden, you're trying to adjust. Think about this season, right? Strider, Acuna, that's a given. But then here at the end, where Harris had to come back and fight his way back.
Austin Riley's out.
Ozzie
comes back with like a week left in the season.
Well, and to me, the biggest kicker is you're going into a series where you need your best pitcher, and guess what happens?
He's out. Yeah, it's the most star-crossed season I think any Braves fan can remember. You know, if we owned a funeral parlor, like nobody would die. If we won the lottery, we'd lose the ticket. Nothing was going away. Anything you want to say about this year, flush it. Now, it was a hell of a testament to the team that they could make the playoffs with all the things you just talked about. But once you're in the playoffs, I think Braves fans can sit there and go pat somebody on the back and get moral victory. No, I mean, you're in this game. Padres fans knew it. I couldn't believe how graceful everybody was and gracious on social media. Padres fans, like, good luck, Braves, because I think they got a little bit of a scare when the Braves made that charge coming back. But at the end of the day, though.
They did. But, Mike, we've been saying this, and we can't go away from what we've been saying. Bums. You're not going to win without star power.
But let's talk about it. There's just guys. There's replacements, but there's guys that you've got committed to. Now, again, Arcia's contract is nothing special. It's nothing. It's pennies on the dollar. But let's be honest. They blew the Murphy trade. Murphy can't hit. Okay? It's one thing when you're bringing in Urshela and Laureano and these other guys. Murphy can't hit. I want him off this roster, and I'm done with Arcia. Arcia can't hit enough. He just can't. And by the way, Manny Machado hits a bases-clearing double, and you want to go dap him up behind second base?
Well, maybe he was talking to about, you know, like, wishing him a happy birthday.
Look,
I don't know.
I know that sounds like an angry old man take, and I will say screw that because it's BS. It's an elimination game, and Machado's going, you go have a steak after the game. Give me a freaking break. You know, you're going to be Tommy Tough Guy, and you're going to stare down, you know, Bryce Harper a year too late, and you're going to hug Machado. I'm so over Arcia. I'm not trying. Look, there's a lot of reasons this team lost. But that's one guy I want gone next year because you got to pump up the bottom of the lineup. 21, 22, 23, 7, 9 were strong suits. They were weaknesses this year.
Well, and Mike, this team is going to look a little different. The core is still going to be here. We hope the core is healthy. The good news is, and I thought this was good that he just put this to bed. Snit said after the game last night, I want to come back, and I wish I was at spring training right now. I can't wait to get back with these guys. I love the fact that this has kind of been one of those things. Is he going to step away? And we've been saying, well, he's getting up there. And Smith's like, dude, I don't know what you guys are talking about. And I'm with him. Right. When this team is healthy, we're one of the best teams in the league and the best teams in Major League Baseball. I'm not walking away from this right now, and I'm still having fun doing it. So I'm glad we can put that to bed. Snit's going to be back, but what this team is going to look like, to your point about who's here, who's not here, and who you bring in, who you maybe let go, that is the adjustments that AA is going to have to make to really put us over the top.
I mean, you know, Schwellenbach along with Chris Sale and certainly – you know, I guess Ronaldo Lopez, you got three there. Are you going to consider bringing Charlie Morton back? And what's that going to cost? And don't you feel at this point, five innings of Charlie Morton, maybe I turn the page? You know, at 4 2/3, 5 1/3, is Fried going to stick around? Is Fried going to get some crazy offer from whatever team, Yankees, whoever? You know, more that you're willing to match? And then you've got your Strider. But is Strider, cause that's the thing, everyone talks about Strider. What is he going to be when he comes back? Is he going to be the same flamethrower? Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, when is he coming back?
That's just another thing. So right now I got 3/5 of a rotation, you know, unless you're considering Ian Anderson and Schwellenbach. And, you know, that's not exactly, you know, blowing anybody's skirt up. I just like to know in this offseason with a payroll that's really climbing up there. You talked about how these contracts are maturing.
Escalating.
Are they going to really get after it? Because you're blowing it with this window of opportunity. Look, this is a year you can put an asterisk and say, Carl, the baseball gods just took a giant dump on the Braves with the injuries. But next year, let's get right back.
Well, and next year there should be no excuses, especially getting back to spring training and everyone healthy. Speaking of how star-crossed this season was, let's hear Brian Snicker talk about it. Big O, talking about the attitude of this team, there was no quit. That's why I said we should all be proud, and I hope you are, despite the fact that we didn't get to the end game, which is winning a World Series. Here's Brian Snicker. Yeah, because they could have given in. I mean, we could have gave in June, to be honest with you, the way things were going. 404-726-0929. Find us on social media, guys. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C. Dukes, and this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on. We are going to talk plenty about the Falcons and Bucks tonight. Thursday Night Football, Mike and I were just looking at some numbers.
Yeah, man, some prop bets. We were just joking around because we talked a lot this week about Kyle Pitts and his usage rate. Big articles, a lot of stuff being talked about nationally about what's up with Kyle Pitts as a fourth overall pick. And you and I, you just said it, the over-under is 2.5
catches
for receptions for Kyle Pitts.
Yep.
We were saying, remember when we were saying, free Roddy, hashtag free Roddy. 2015, Roddy wasn't really involved. And it was almost like Shanahan was going to say, screw you guys. And it was actually three balls in a row. To our man Roddy White. One was a check down. But you think Zach is hearing any of this noise?
I think he's hearing it. I hope he's not caught up in it. You can't go away from your game plan and what's working. But in that game plan, let's hope that he has some plays tonight for 8.
Hey, and by the way, if it's hashtag free Pitts, is Pitts a prisoner in a prison of his own design because he's not doing the work he needs to do to get open and be the man?
It could be, Mike. We're going to talk more about it. Also, our interview with Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times talking about all the things you need to know about Tampa heading into this game tonight. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell live from the Signia by Hilton. You're going to hear from Kirk Cousins, the quarterback of our Atlanta Falcons, coming up as part of the quarterback report at 2:40. So coming up here in about less than 15 minutes, you'll get a chance to hear what he has to say to Dave Archer as they get ready for tonight's contest with the Bucks. Want to read this because this is from Money Harris on social media, and I love it. He says about 2 hours ago, man, what a wild year. Could not have asked for a better group of guys to battle with considering the circumstances. We still beat some of the odds and gave ourselves a chance.
Right.
We left it on the field. Thank you, Braves country. And then he says, 2K25, where are you at? Talking about, obviously, the video game. But Michael Money Harris is right, man. And I said to him, thank you. Mm. You know, like, again, we could have folded up. I thought this might have been, Mike, when you talk about Snit's best managerial job under the circumstances.
It's funny because as the season wound down and you started looking at individual games, you know, like, okay, you left Morton in too long against the Phillies or whatever that. Yes, and we say it all the time. If you're following a team over 162, you're going to find, you know, 5 or 6 games where you're going to debate the manager's moves, leaving a guy in, an early hook. But, I mean, when you go through the fact that you're playing guys off of waivers, these are guys that are released and have passed through waivers and you got them. These are guys that have been – they're journeymen.
Yep.
You know what that means.
Bum.
Okay, bum. But, no, I mean, you've literally gotten to the point where your roster is, like, not even remotely close to what you broke camp with in Northport. Nobody loses Acuna and Strider. You already talked about it. We already know. And then Austin Riley was kind of the cherry on top. At least Ozzie was able to come back and contribute. Oh, granted, he was only right-handed. And some guys say it should only be right-handed Aussie. But this is still a hell of a job. And the rotation, remember, you had different parts where Ronaldo Lopez had to stop and because the inning usage. And you had to always juggle the pitching. You always got guys coming up. And it's everything Snicker's had to do the last 4 or 5 years. So I'm not going to – anybody who's on Snicker, I think you're just – I don't know what you were watching. This is a team of basically seven stars. It was reduced to 2.5 by the time the season ended.
Yeah, and it's hard to win without star power in any sport.
Sale was the pleasant surprise this year.
Absolutely. He was the best. I mean, like, I was not as fearful about him being picked up by the team. I did not know he would achieve this. But I felt like he would compete. And then when healthy, you see what he's capable of. So.
Right.
I am excited, like Snit, for, you know, what next season is going to bring, because I know these guys will be back healthy, and, you know, you're not going to get bit like this, Mike, 2 years in a row. We've seen teams have that. Yeah, knock wood. We've seen teams have this stuff happen and then come back. I mean, it's just what it is. It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking about the Braves, obviously, losing 5-4. They are done. They are out of the playoffs, and just kind of recapping what some of the guys were saying on social media. All right, we got a lot to get to. You're going to hear from Rick Stroud. Tampa Bay Times coming up at 3 o'clock as we talk to him about all the things that are going on, including Baker Mayfield, the defensive injuries that they're dealing with. And then he gives some insight into Brady and how things were done when Brady was there. And it's just something you guys want to hear if you missed it the other day, because I was blown away by this story that he tells about Tom Brady.
There was a little bit of controversy last week when Baker Mayfield goes on a podcast, and kind of some people said, wow, you got a lot of huevos or temerity to say that things are better that you're here and the greatest quarterback to ever dress out isn't. But when you think about the circumstances surrounding the GOATs last year in Tampa, it makes a lot of sense, and Rick will tell you that story.
All right, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Find us again on social media. Jersey Mike here, our on-site engineer, as always, and Big O's back at the studio. Turtle is off today, and we'll be back all together tomorrow. But while we're down here, man, come on down, hang out at the Nest. It's a great spot again, Mike. We said this last time we were here, one of the best places we've been.
I mean, look at this view. You got the stadium right here. You're right past the Home Depot backyard. They've got their own version of what we've got at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with the Halo board, where you can basically look inside. Inside and outside. It's one of the coolest sports bar layouts. And the food, you should have seen me and Carl, as we said, kind of going through it like we're in a pie-eating contest, woofing down the wings and the burgers. It's really, I mean, one thing with the Hilton, the food's always great at their sports bars, but the Nest, the build-out, too, by the way. If you got here at business, you can walk right down to the World Congress Center, right to the stadium. It's cake.
It is. It is cake. That's a great way to put it. Hey, man, we got a lot more to get to. Big O, let's hit some headlines. It's all about our Falcons, Mike. We have to be better on third down. There's no doubt about it. And how do you improve time of possession, right? Well, you got to get first downs. Listen to Raheem Morris talk about it. He joined Andy and Randy this week and was asked that question about how to improve time of possession. In my
opinion, that's it. I mean, everything that we're trying to do, every fantasy owner who's not even a Falcon fan, somebody in, like, you know, sitting in California or up in New York going, what's up with Pitts? Why isn't Bijan getting more touchdowns? Because you got 15 less plays than your opponent. You know, it was 11 more minutes of time of possession last week in a game we won against the Saints. It was at that point, it was almost 50 more minutes with the Chiefs before we got our final possession. So, Carl, you've got to get these third and down, and it all starts with first down. It's simple. Second and 5 works. Second and 8 or second and 11 don't work. And Cousins, I don't care what anybody says. Everyone says he's back to being 100%. I still don't think he's 100%. I think that'll come over the course of the season. But what he's got great weapons in Bijan. Now, by the way, Bijan's also not 100% either this week.
Yeah.
Well, short turnaround coming off a hamstring.
I'm curious if they use him does he get as many touches as we would think? You know, is he in the 15 to 18 range today?
Well, I mean, but there's still time, even with, you know, Bijan at 75% to get touches, provided you keep moving the sticks and you can get the usage rate up.
Yeah, I agree. I'll say this, man. I don't know. I feel like one part of this offense is just absent, and I would love to know what it looks like when Kyle Pitts gets going. I just would. I just feel like that's an empty space right now.
Right.
And you're getting nothing from a production standpoint from that space. And until you do, all this other stuff that we're talking about, that's got to help us get more time of possession, more plays, more first downs. And that's not happening right now.
And by the way, you know, as we said, as we get further down into the season, if Zach Robinson, like, the light goes on, okay, I get it. It's not what you had with the Rams. But you got a guy here. You can't use a thoroughbred like a plow horse. Right? I mean, and I know that there's things that Pitts has to work on. Maybe the route running, there's an article that we talked about in SB Nation, which detailed a lot of things they described as shortcomings. But still, you got to find a way. I mean, if you're a good offensive coach finding your way in this league, you've got to utilize this dude and figure it out, right?
You have to.
And by the way, are they ignoring this? Is blah, 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 blah. This isn't a problem in their minds?
No, 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 no.
I can't buy
that. No. Tape doesn't lie. tape doesn't lie. You can't turn the tape on and tell me, any coach in his right mind, and Raheem and all these guys know. They know what he's doing. And by the way, Rod, here's the unique thing about our head coach. He's coached both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He coached wide receivers, and you guys do realize here we go to Super Bowl. We're talking about Julio, Mohamed Sanu.
Right.
We had a good group. He knows what he's seeing, Mike. I don't think you can ignore it, even if you wanted to. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Speaking of Ra, here's what he said about third downs, as we have been one of the worst teams when it comes to third down conversions. Yeah, and Mike, for me, it's not always been about it's the execution of some of these plays where we haven't gotten them. Is part of the reason why we haven't converted some of these third downs. I mean, it's not just that we're not getting them. Some of this has been lack of execution. Some of it's been penalties. We've hurt ourselves and set ourselves back, and then now we're fighting against it.
Right. We had a ton of penalties last week against the Saints. That's one of the – you got 80 yards of penalties.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to kill you. False starts. Some of the things, like we talked about, New Zealand, some was ticky-tack with moving the football, which I still – what the hell that was.
It was a joke.
And then it's funny, Saints fans were bellyaching about that pass interference. That was pass interference. I mean, if you didn't see it, I mean, Darnell Mooney's head gets turned sideways. Or was it Ray McCloud? It was Mooney. But, you know, basically you're seeing that it's obvious. We could be 3-1. We're 2-2. The good news is we're 2-2 and we're still working things out in an NFC where there's a lot of teams working things out.
They are.
49ers are dealing with the potential of not having McCaffrey the rest of the season. You know, we've seen Dallas. Dallas is just doing what Dallas does, which is confusing everybody, including their fans. You know, so but you need to get on a run. And hey, if we're 3-2 after the first five, giddy up, man. The other thing is we're going to go on the road a lot. We've already had. You realize this is our fourth home game?
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy.
It is. This primetime stuff. I mean, we've gotten a bunch of all the primetime stuff is out of the way except for the Monday night game against the Raiders. Right. We don't have any more after tonight.
Now, if all goes well, we'll get flexed in
True.
To maybe some Sunday night games in November and December if all goes well.
Hey, man, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com for all your Man Cave needs. You're going to hear from our quarterback coming up in just a minute, but I do want you to hear one more thing from Raheem Morris as we get ready for tonight's contest here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and that is Ra talking about, Mike, Matt Ryan. We haven't spent a lot of time this week. There's been so much going on.
Short week, too. You're
correct.
Right.
But he is going into the Ring of Honor tonight. And this is Raheem Morris talking about Ryan ahead of that.
We've talked about it, you know, at length over his career and his legacy. He's the greatest football player in the Falcons' history, in the franchise history. Now, there's guys, you might have said Deion was this, or Mike Vick was certainly excited, put fannies in the seats, brought new Falcon fans into the fold. But Matt is the best player that ever wear a Falcon uniform. You know, that's just the fact. And then you throw inside the intangibles of what he inherited in 2008, you know, with Mike and the Huskow and the lost season in 2007. And you got to put this team and become the face of it on your back. You go to the playoffs as a rookie. You know, remember in 2020 when things are hitting the fan around the country, guy gives $500,000 to get a dialogue going here in the city, in the inner city. The guy's always been a guy who's got this town's back, and it's a shame that he's just never, ever, for whatever reason, from some fans, not all, but a portion of the fans,
some
have just never given him his just due.
Yeah, from some. Best thing to happen to this franchise. 2008, that's all you got to do. Go look
right
at it. This thing was a debacle. It was an embarrassment around the country. People were talking about it everywhere. I wasn't here then. I'm telling you, I was talking
right
about it. Best thing to happen to the franchise. Completely changed the complexion of where the organization was to where it needed to go. And now you think about this, Mike. This winning that we had between 08 and when he retired, or
right
at least stepped away from us. He's not officially, you know, retired yet. I don't know if he's put in his paperwork. But the fact is, like, that winning, we got so spoiled when Ryan was here. We were going to go to the playoffs. We were going to compete. We were going to be in the mix. We were going to go to NFC Championship games. Oh, we might even go to a Super Bowl. We did all of that.
And it goes without saying, if we don't screw up 51, and that's, you know, like Matt makes the throw to Julio. Julio makes a great catch. We fall down twice, kick a field goal. The entire legacy of Atlanta sports has changed forever, but it didn't. But the guy was always on the job. And as you said, Carl, he never had back-to-back winning seasons in this franchise's history until this dude got here. So, again, I would hope that, just like with Arthur Blank last week, folks, you can hold off on $1.50 hot dogs, stay in your seats, and give the man some love at halftime when they honor Matt Ryan in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and congratulations to Matt. Well deserved. The next stop will be the Hall of Fame. Don't know when that happens, but mm-hmm. It's going to. All right, we're coming back. Quarterback report with our quarterback, Kirk Cousins. What does he think about the Bucs and more? Stay right there. You'll hear it next. scoring enough points. We know that's obvious.
Right.
And it's something that's got to get corrected. Hopefully it does tonight against Tampa Bay. Thursday night football from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Guys are broadcasting live from Signia, by Hilton, by the way, at the Nest. This is the fourth floor down here right across the street from the stadium. Mike, real quick, before we hear from Kirk Cousins, we were talking about some of these numbers.
Give me some of these prop bets. For guys that are new to football, gambling makes it more fun.
Yeah, I just was curious. I'm just looking at Falcon stuff, right? And so here's what I said to Mike. We talked about the Pitts 2.5 receptions over under.
He had 3 targets last week. No catches. 1 called back on a penalty.
Correct.
But he did have 3 targets against the Saints.
And you just think that number would be a lot more. But that's, again, that's based on what he's done. And the odds makers are saying, we don't think he's going to do more than this.
You know what? At some point, release the Kraken, right? It's got to happen for this team.
I agree.
You know,
Let me ask you this. Tyler Allgeier, 35.5 yards over under tonight.
Yes, I'd bet the over on that just because they're not really letting out. But if Bijan was, you know, let's be honest, Tyler filled in for Bijan because of the hamstring tightened up, and he is listed on the injury report as questionable. So I just think just the law of averages and physics of the injury say he's going to get more touches.
Let's talk about Drake London. Receiving yards, 63.5 over under, Drake London. I know.
Can't commit to that because it's such a, you know, let's be honest, herky-jerky sort of stop-and-go offense that just never seems to get into a flow.
You want to see this offense at high octane.
Yeah, you know, Kirk Cousins, 300 yards. You know, kind of what he does
That's
before
right.
he got here.
That's right.
You know, before the Achilles injury. But Drake London with a C-note, Bijan with 125 yards from scrimmage. You know, I mean, Pitts with close to 80 yards and a touchdown in the red zone. That's why we thought so highly of Zach Robinson coming from Sean McVay's system. And then it's like, okay, are wide receivers just not – they're all cracked up to be? Or is it still Kirk Cousins? I mean, when does the familiarity thing stop as an excuse?
Well, it has to.
It's 4.5 weeks, and I know it's a short turnaround.
It has to. Let me ask you this, though. How do you explain what we saw with the Eagles? How does that happen and look so good?
I heard a number of guys this week, and Randy brought it up last week, the week it happened – quarterbacks, everything kind of gets simplified in a 2-minute offense, or you're kind of going back to more of your base stuff, and the language is simpler, and the rhythm. And it was also no huddle, of course. So I don't know if that just got Cousins. We just talked about Matt Ryan. Some of Matt Ryan's best games are when they would go no huddle, you know, in second
but
half.
But he was delivering the ball.
Everything's coming out on schedule.
Yes.
Boom, boom, boom.
And my point is, you can't look that good and then say he's not healthy. That's why I push back on that. And I know you've been on it, and I don't know.
But, I mean, like, is he 100% to be able to, you know, take the quick step? Because it's not a sprint, but he's going to move and pivot and get the ball on the reach plays to Bijan or to Tyler. Is he comfortable there? Is he still comfortable mental reps as far as being in the huddle and seeing the field and forging that relationship with guys? See, look, if we had 4 games of preseason, we would have had Cousins out there in a perfect world, but off the injury, you're never going to see him. And with 3 games, there's even less chance to see the starters together.
No, they weren't going to
see
Which
may have helped
chance.
Zach Robinson. Maybe it did. I don't know.
It's true. A couple of Kirk Cousins prop bets here. 21.5 completions tonight. So you're telling me what's he going to go, 20, 24, or 40?
But the over-under doesn't really allow for that because the over-under is low, right? He's 43.5?
It is.
All right.
That's a lot of completions. I mean, considering it's not, but then you're telling me either 2 things have happened. We're down, right, and he's throwing the ball a lot more than we expected, or that we come into this game and the game plan.
Or we abandon the run. The Bucs and Vita Vea take away the run game, and we become kind of one-dimensional.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like that idea, but I guess, yeah.
22 completions?
It's Vegas. It's putting they've got you right on the spot.
They do. All right, one more.
I'm not touching that one.
It is, and this gets back. Passing yards. Kirk Cousins, 234.
Under.
Okay.
I want to see
a guy that throws for 3, and he hasn't done it
yet. I want to see all of those numbers exceed, but until I see this offense consistently fire on all cylinders,
all right,
I just kind of feel that maybe go low on that. And if we do establish the run, you know, that means less pass. But it hasn't passed the eye test for the media, national media, the fans. But the good news is, guys, even with it looking as ugly as it has on offense, we're 2-2.
Yes.
And maybe going to be – could have been 3-1.
Well, maybe that's the story, Mike. As we've worked through these situations, especially on offense, and we're still winning games, maybe that tells us we got a really good team. Because once they figure it out, this thing, again, may take off. That, to me, I don't care, again, how we win, but that is interesting. If we still maintain winning and we are above 500, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, whatever it might be down the road, and by then I hope we figure this out. But I'm just saying, in the process, you still have to win while you're trying to learn about this stuff.
Here's one for you. How about this? Maybe come up, I'll pull this number out of my hanky. +175 we score on our first drive. touchdown.
I believe that because we've been good on
scripted
the first
plays.
Drive.
Seems yes. like we get into a rhythm. We certainly did at times. You know, that's one of the things that has happened. So again, it's not anti-Zach or anything like that. He's reaching for inches. We just saw it on Fox Sports 1. Zach Robinson says we need to score more points, which is exactly what his predecessor said in Arthur Smith.
It is, and I didn't think we'd be here. I just didn't. All right. Good news is we got a chance to make it better tonight. Let's hear from our quarterback, Kirk Cousins, with Dave Archer. It's the quarterback report.
Let's get it right here. Let's get it in the end zone. Let's go!
This is the Falcons quarterback report. The Falcons quarterback report is brought to you by Rooms to Go. Buy the piece, save a little. Buy the room, save a lot. Here's Dave Archer.
Hey, Carol, countdown to kickoff. We get a chance to catch up with our quarterback. Kirk, what's the biggest challenge in these Thursday night games getting ready to go?
Well, I think certainly physically we've all got to be as fresh as we can be and be ready to go. I think there's also a mental aspect of digesting a game plan in a short amount of time. But it's the same for both squads, and I think there's a benefit to it as well of not overthinking and just going and playing and reacting, and I think it can lead to a good performance.
Can part of that translate to game plans? Do game plans get simplified a little bit, especially when you start looking at their defense? How much more can they do that you may have saw on tape on Sunday?
Yeah, having been with a lot of different play callers, there's a lot of different ways to go about these short weeks. You know, you can install extra volume for your previous game that then can carry over to the short week. You can treat it like any other week. You can try to simplify the game plan. There's different ways to do it, but ultimately we just have to execute what's called, understand, you know, what the defense has given us and then what our answers are against it. And, you know, playing a Todd Bowles defense, we're going to see a fair amount of pressure. We're going to see a fair amount of fronts, and we're going to have some challenging looks. And so on a short week, it is a challenge.
I've been having a chance to talk with you here these first few weeks. I know you're not satisfied with where your offense is. Maybe you're never satisfied. But are you pleased with some of the progress you've made with some of the things you've got going on with your receivers?
Yeah, I think, you know, behind the scenes, I think there's been progress. If you look at, like, just the general tenor of the offense and the production of the offense over 4 weeks, I think each week has been a progressive step better. So that's encouraging. And yet, you know, there's certainly plays we left out there. You're always going to have that. But I'm excited, you know, and kind of view it as another opportunity this Thursday night to, you know, take another step and be the explosive offense that we want to be.
This is a Tampa team defensively that's always historically under Todd Bowles been pretty good. Personnel's changed significantly over the last couple seasons, certainly for this year. What do you see when you put the tape on?
Yeah, it's certainly a Todd Bowles defense when you look at the fronts and the pressures and the coverages. There's a few names have changed, but, you know, the Lavonte Davids of the world are still there. Vita Vea is still there. It's a good unit, and they're the defending division champs for a reason. And so, you know, to win the South, we got to go through them twice. And, you know, it's been stated, but, you know, this is a big, big game for us.
You mentioned Lavonte David, and I've had the pleasure of calling a bunch of games that he's been involved with the Falcons, and maybe pleasure's the wrong word. when you begin to look at him and his career, 34-year-old guy, but coming off an 8-tackle, 2-sack game last weekend against Philly, you know, just what makes him such a great player?
I think he's instinctive. I think he plays with speed still. I think that, you know, going back to, I played against him in college. We were in the Senior Bowl together as teammates. It's just no surprise to me the career he's had after kind of seeing him in college and coming out of college. He's always been a fast, instinctive player, and I think he's a leader too. I think he elevates people around him, and now, there's a reason he's been with one organization for 13 seasons.
Importance of you and I have talked about this. Importance of the divisional games. Importance of playing at home, magnified on a Thursday night. Talk about that a little bit, and just the importance of making sure you take care of your own building.
Yeah, we're at home, playing a good football team, a divisional opponent, in prime time, chance to get above 500. You know, we've got a couple days off Saturday, Sunday after this game. You know, you want to be sitting there watching pro football on Sunday knowing you took care of business Thursday night. You know, nothing's worse than sitting around on a long weekend knowing that you fell short. So for all those reasons, major sense of urgency going into the game, and it needs to reflect in the way we play.
Go have some fun, man.
All right. Thanks, Arch.
Yeah, can we have some sense of urgency to start this game? We have done a good job, Mike pointed it out, of these first drives going down and scoring. We did it against the Chiefs, right? We did it against New Orleans. I feel like that is – you got to get off to a good start. That's a big part of it. Kirk Cousins there with the back report. He's right, though, Mike. You know, if we somehow come up short tonight, these guys got to sit around and watch all these games on Sunday
right.
into Monday, and they're like, oh, we should have probably did something.
Right. Talking to some Falcon fans today, we just want to see this team look like what we thought we were going to get. Now, you and I were just talking about, before we played the audio, of Kirk being 100%. When does one get back to being 100% coming off that type of an injury? You know, as far as completely able to step in, bounce on the balls, of your, you know what I mean, on the top of your feet and do all the things and the intuitive nature of football. And, you know, and I mean, I just think I always felt it was going to take a while. But in my wildest dreams, I didn't think we'd be this anemic on offense going into week five.
Oh, no, but I don't know if anybody did. I mean, again, I was probably, you know, leading the way when it came to what I thought this offense could look like. And then the first game, I'm willing to give it, you know, all right, give it some leeway.
Because it was almost like an extension of the preseason.
Yeah.
Because nobody, the starters hadn't played with each other.
But not now. Not going into week five. And to answer your question about that, Mike, I mean, literally, it just depends on your body, man.
Right.
I mean, I can't tell you. Everybody heals differently. Everybody, and by the way, these guys are getting first-class recovery, okay? This isn't you or me trying to go down and see the recovery
guys. But you're telling me a guy right now who works at Home Depot doesn't have a hyperbaric chamber?
No. These guys are getting first-class recovery. They're getting all the physical therapy and all the stuff you need to get back as soon as you possibly can. But I don't know if anybody knows that answer. Everybody knows their body. Hmm. But for Kirk, I can't look at some of the things he's done so far this season and go, it looks healthy to me.
But it's like we had these arguments yesterday with a couple of listeners on social media. You can follow us, Carlos. Put them up. C Dukes on Mike Bell, ATL on Twitter. We don't say X. And guy was like, yeah, well, you know, Pitts, you guys are dogging Pitts. Look at the guys. You get it. 2 years, he gets a pass. You know, 1 year he was banged up.
Yeah.
You know, the first year, Calvin Ridley disappears after five games, and Pitts kind of becomes the number one receiver at 1,000 yards. He had more than Russell Gage, more than Zacchaeus. But now, okay, how does he showed you the ability? He showed you the ability without where he's probably drawn double teams to be the man. So what's changed? You know, what's changed with this offense other than Arthur Smith was kind of using him as more of a traditional role, but pivoted once he had to deal with those injuries at wide receiver.
Yeah.
So why can't Zach Robinson get the same thing out of him, get him down the field?
Well, I said to
– like, remember the Jets game in London?
Correct.
He won you games that got you in the field goal range. Who was kicking all the field goals to win that year?
Yeah, and those were vertical, long vertical passes. Right. I said to a guy yesterday, the thing that Zach has done, and we'll see tonight, they have lined him up outside. They have lined him up in the slot. They've also lined him up on the line. They're utilizing that part of this. This hasn't been Pitts in one spot every game, every play.
It's just not. There's no connection yet.
That's the part.
At the rate we need, other than the blown coverage and the first touchdown of the season.
All right, we're live, guys, down here at the Hilton, Signia by Hilton. We're going to come back. Rick Stroud covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he was really good breaking down all that's going on with that team, but also what's been the difference since Tom Brady left. This became a story, Mike, when, you know, Baker Mayfield went on a podcast and said, yeah, guys were tight because Brady made them that way. Wait until you hear what Rick Stroud has to say, as well as why this team is 3-1 right now, next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's locked in, and we love talking to him. Rick, it's good to have you back on the show. First things first, I want to start with Baker Mayfield because, again, I think he's shown us that this reclamation project, whatever you want to call it, is working, and he's playing at a high level, and the offense is clicking. Let's talk about that first and foremost and why.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that, you know, he's got an offensive coordinator, and he did some things last year that were very good, but, you know, continuity wins in the NFL, and he's now locked into these receivers, you know, with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and I think they've certainly fortified their offensive line a little bit this year, added an explosive running back in Bucky Irving. So he's got plenty of answers, right? And I think Leon Cohen is better than Dave Canales, in my opinion. First of all, he's called plays before, and Dave had not until he got here to Tampa. And I think that you know, Baker worked with him briefly with the Rams, but it's just been a nice sort of marriage. And Baker, you know, after being kind of that vagabond quarterback, I mean, you've seen it with Sam Darnold this year. You know, he's got some stability in his life. He has a 3-year, $100 million contract, has a new baby, has a house on Davis Islands. Like, those are all positive things. And he's never going to lose his edge because he's always got that chip on his shoulder. He always will have it. So he's kind of just settled in here. And as they get more into this offense and you know, play more games, I think you'll continue to see the arrow kind of going up. Now, you know, injuries are a big part of this league too, and so that's got to be factored in there. But no, he's just really comfortable with his surroundings, with his teammates, and with the offense right now.
I know, Rick, it's always funky with the short turnaround, but yeah, I was just looking at the Tampa Bay website. You got 15 guys listed on the injury report. Who's the most serious?
The ones that aren't playing. I guess, we're a little concerned about Luke Goedeke, the right tackle, who's missed a couple of games now with a concussion. We thought maybe he'd be available on Sunday. He was not. He's not really done anything this week. So that's always a concern when you're talking about a head injury. It's certainly more than just a guy's career that you worry about. And, you know, listen, they've managed to win games without two of their better players and maybe their best player on defense, Antoine Winfield Jr. Mm. He's getting very close, I think. Had a high ankle sprain. That's usually about a four-week injury. This will be three, almost three. If it wasn't a short week, maybe he would play this Sunday, but they play on Thursday night. Kalijah Kansey's been out now. Who was their number one or first round draft pick a year ago, had a similar injury, knocked him out the first half of the season. He was great the second half. So, you know, they've got to get some guys healthy. And yet I think, you know, the key is with any NFL team, you survive and advance, find a way to win games, you know, when you're not at your best and hope that you get healthy as you go along. They did get Vita Vea back last week. He was an absolute impact player for them. And that was an MCL sprain that could have lasted longer. So, you know, look, no one feels sorry for anybody when you're missing guys. I just think that they've done a good job, especially with the young players. They had 200 snaps from rookies last week. And those guys are playing really, really well, as are some of the, you know, some of the second-year guys. I mean, it's the second youngest team in the NFL, and yet, you know, here they are with these injuries, and they're still 3-1.
Rick Stroud joining us here on Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Rick, you beat the Commanders to start the season, Tampa did, and everybody was like, oh, well, they're not going to be that good. And now we realize they might be better than expected. You win at the Lions, second week of the season, and everybody's, we know the Lions are going to be a playoff team. They look really good last night. You lose to the Broncos, but then you beat the Eagles. Those are three quality wins. I think that a lot of people thought, you know, maybe the Commanders would be the team that should have been a pushover, and it wasn't. Tell me what's the most impressive win of these three wins so far, and what happened with the Broncos game?
Well, I think the most impressive win is at Detroit, right? I mean, we saw what they are capable of last year and what they've done already this year, and certainly last night was an example of that. That's a difficult place to play at Ford Field. They have an explosive offense and, you know, except for last night, usually a pretty good defense. They couldn't handle Aiden Hutchinson. The Bucs have been missing their right tackle, as I mentioned, but they still hung in the game and, their defense bent, but didn't break. They didn't have a lot of their defensive players that day. Vita Vea went out at halftime. Secondary was all young guys for the most part. And yet, you know, they were determined to avenge, you know, their playoff loss up there, and they lost to Detroit twice last year. So I just think that their will was very high that day, and they just sort of out executed Detroit in certain situations. And so that was a statement win for them. And then unfortunately they didn't handle it very well. You know, they got real confident then and pleased with what they had accomplished. And then Sean Payton came in here with a rookie quarterback and he knocked their block off. And Sean Payton has done that to Todd Bowles since 2019. He's 7-0 in the regular season. He averages 30 points a game, but you know what? Todd Bowles got him in the one that mattered. And that was in 2020 season, the NFC divisional playoff, went on to win a Super Bowl. So, I don't think he'd trade those in, but listen, it's what happens in this league, and it'll happen to every team. You know, if you're not ready to play, if you don't match the intensity, and sometimes the more desperate team wins. It's as simple as that. I mean, everybody on that other side, they're going to spend 100 hours a week looking at you just like you're looking at them, and they're all professional football players and the best in the world, and they're on the team for a reason. So I think they learned a valuable lesson. They didn't come off the football. They got physically handled. They were down, you know, I think 14-0, and they had run 9 plays. And, you know, that's a recipe for disaster. So, you know, you can't have that happen. I think, you know, as a young team, again, second youngest team in the league, they learned a valuable lesson, and they did not repeat that on Sunday.
It's our buddy Rick Stroud from down in Tampa Bay at NFL Stroud to get to see what's going on around the league, not just with the Bucs. We are happy to be 2-2. We could have been 3-1. We kind of got hosed in the Chiefs game from the officials. But as you know, Rick, you are, your record says what you are. We're a 500 team right now. We're still finding our identity on offense. Can we run the ball at Vita Vea? Can we run the ball at this defensive line and then get into the play action with Cousins that we want to do?
Well, you got to try, right? I mean, you got those great running backs in Bijan and Tyler Algier, and the offensive line's been pretty good moving people. And you know, the play action is what Kirk has always done the best. Now, with Vita Vea, it's a different animal now.
Right.
I mean, that cat, he's actually, you know, trimmed down some, if you can believe that. After the Detroit game, he was, you know, you're not going to notice. He's a large man. But, you know, after the Detroit game, he kind of rededicated himself, spent 2 weeks with the Ndamukong Suh up in Portland, Oregon, probably lost 15 to 20 pounds. Like I said, coming off the knee injury, but, you know, just a guy that you have to put four hands on him on every play, and he's still got great feet. And the difference with him on the field is that guys like Kirk Cousins and other quarterbacks, they're not going to be able to step up into the pocket. You know, it's very easy sometimes to push those outside rushers away from the quarterback if he can step up. When you're not going to be able to do that with Vita Vea. And if they get Kalijah Kansi back, it'll be even less possible. Huh. But for right now, having that big body in the middle of that defense, that enables, you know, those outside rushers to get there. And I don't know what Kurt's mobility is anymore. It was never great to begin with, but he'll have to throw the ball quick. And I know the Bucs are most concerned about the run. They know, you know, that's where Atlanta's bread is buttered. And if you can't stop that, they can pretty much dictate whatever they want to do. So they're concerned about it. They're concerned about the run. They're concerned about all the weapons that Kurt has. We've seen Kyle Pitts, and we've seen, you know, Drake London, and all those guys make big plays. So they're not taking this team lightly. It's a division game, and it's always a lot of fun when they get together.
If anybody knows what's going on with the relationship between Tom Brady and Baker Mayfield, it's Rick Stroud. So for our audience, let's go back, first of all, because Baker did this podcast where he basically said, and I may be paraphrasing, but he said that Tom Brady stressed out other guys in that locker room. So he saw Brady before this last game. And, Rick, that's where I want you to pick it up. What's the deal? What's their relationship? They exchange pleasantries. Are they cool or not? What's the deal?
Yeah, I think they're cool. And listen, I think both things can be right. And first of all, Baker didn't just make that up, okay? He wasn't here. So he got that from teammates. And right. A couple of them I've talked to, including Tristan Wirfs, who said, Tom scared the hell out of me. You know, but Tristan was a 21-year-old kid that, you know, Tom's 42. He's literally twice his age, and he's a rookie, you know, right tackle. And Tom said, I got two things you got to worry about. Don't get beat quick and don't get beat inside. If you just do those two things, we'll be fine. And so his whole career, he's been repeating that to himself. So, you know, listen, no one is against Tom Brady in Tampa. I mean, he put rings on their fingers. He put new contracts, you know, for all of them. Certainly the head coach and the general manager here is a big part of that. But Tom, yeah, I think what was true in what Baker was getting at that he had been told by players is really about the last year that Brady was here. It wasn't like the other two, right? He had retired. He was gone for 40 days, and then he was back. And then we're a couple days into training camp. He gets, you know, divorce papers. He walks out of camp for 10 days. Then after that, and he was miserable. And, you know, the second day of camp, he loses Ryan Jensen, you know, which turned out to be a career-ending injury. So nothing went well. And as he said during the preseason, when the one game he played, I'm 45, I got a lot of bleep going on. And he did. And he made everybody around him feel that, okay? It wasn't just football anymore. It was the whole package. So I think that there were some you know, negativity in that season. They managed to make the postseason. They get their tails whipped by Dallas. But the overall experience, look, they're winning as a residual of Tom Brady. There's a lot of guys on this team that are Super Bowl champions, maybe about 10 of them or so. And they've kind of changed the culture of this franchise. You know, they've won three division titles. I don't care if you want to say it's the South and they won one at 8-9. It doesn't matter because you get into the playoffs by winning the division. And they've been to the playoffs four straight years. So Tom Brady did something right. And now Baker Mayfield has to be Baker Mayfield. And he has his own style. And believe me, it's embraced. First of all, he's not 20 years older than his teammates. He'll go out and have a beer with them. You're not going to do that with a celebrity quarterback. And secondly, he plays his ass off, and he puts his heart on his sleeve. Tom did as well, but Tom did it a different way. And Baker is authentic, and that's all that matters in this league. And I think guys have embraced him. He doesn't have as good of a team as Tom Brady had, because they brought in literally everybody that could play to help Tom win a Super Bowl. And so, you know, there's a difference in the teams and the culture. But no doubt that Baker is benefiting from what was here and what worked and what won while Tom Brady was here. So I think they're fine. But, you know, like I said, both things can be true.
I tell you what, man. I got the Players Coach, a great book about Tom Moore and all the different quarterbacks that you wrote that one. I'm not telling you, you know, this summer, Rick, that's a book I'd read about those compare and contrast year one and year three with the Bucs with Brady.
There's probably books in my future, but what I learned about that, it was the hardest thing I ever did. I did it during the season, and Tom Moore was terrific, and he's a great storyteller. But I think it's a little like, but probably a bad analogy, right? But if you're pregnant and you go through that for 9 months, it's going to take a while before you say, "Let's have another baby."
Yes, it does.
So,
gotcha.
I think maybe I want to wait just a little bit and figure out what I want to do. But yeah, there's definitely been some interesting years here in Tampa, and for better or worse, I've been part of most of them.
How much does Peyton Manning owe Tom?
I think he owes him a lot. Really.
I do too.
I mean, you know, what's funny about those guys is that, you know, they were obviously the biggest rivals at that time, and Tom got the better of them, you know, with the Super Bowls. But and people didn't know this, but there was a time when during their heyday, really, where those two guys got together in Tennessee, and just the two of them, nobody else. They hung out, they fished, they played golf, and they talked about what it was like, you know, they were the only two guys that could relate to the pressures and, right. and what they felt. And, you know, even when Tom got here with the Bucs, and here's Tom Moore and, you know, Clyde Christensen and Bruce Arians and all that, he wanted to know the answers to that. He wanted to know what the hell they had been doing. And you know, I think he got a lot of that from Peyton. They were just great competitors. They're very similar in that sense, different personalities, obviously. But, you know, goats recognize goats, and it's a fantastic, you know, relationship. They're friends now, really good friends. I mean, when Peyton went in the Hall of Fame, Tom chartered a plane, which I'm sure he can do, you know, like we could buy a Uber, but he chartered a plane, and he took Arians, and he took Tom Moore, and he took all the people that meant something to Peyton Manning. Mm. He flew them up to Canton, Ohio, and Tom sat right there and let Peyton make jokes about him. So, yeah. You know, it's really an interesting relationship. There's a great chapter, you know, in this book, and I talked to Peyton Manning for a long time about Tom, and obviously Tom speaks, you know, about those similarities between Brady and Manning, but there is definitely a thread of immortality and greatness that these guys all are kind of wired very similarly.
Great stuff with our buddy Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times. The book is out there, by the way, on Amazon, and I basically just wrapped it up last week, so that's one for all football fans, Carl. And how about that insight, though? Brady really, truly was miserable. He really probably should have just stayed out.
Yeah, too much going on in your personal life, man. It played over, and it had an effect on the team and him. We're going to find out more about what we need to get done tonight against Tampa. Joe Patrick, who covers our Falcons, is set to join us. We are live down here at the Signia Hotel by Hilton.
At the Nest.
At the Nest. Talk to our man, Joe Patrick. He covers the Falcons for us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
He's literally right down the street, because as we get off at 4, easy show today, Carl, the Wait For It tailgate kicks off.
Yes, I believe.
In their new location.
I believe the phrase you use is stealing money. Joe Patrick is here. Joe, let's talk about Mike Evans, because this is one of the keys, I think, heading into this game. I'm going to give you these numbers. They're kind of startling when you think about it. But in 18 games against the Falcons, Mike Evans has 1,407 yards.
Good Lord.
92 receptions, 11 touchdowns. He loves playing us, and he always seems to show up big. So how do we slow him down? Let's start there, Joe Patrick. How do we do this?
How do you slow him down? I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen it happen before. I mean, the guy is on his way to he's on a trajectory for having a gold jacket in his career. And a large reason why is going to be because of the success that he's had against the Falcons, and I would say against A.J. Terrell specifically. And so I'm sure A.J., you know, has it in his mind that he wants to get one over on Mike tonight. especially in prime time with the world watching. But it's going to be really difficult, and that's one of the things when you face some of these wide receivers in the league, and that Mike Evans is just one of those guys who just never kind of comes up in these kinds of conversations about who the best guys are in the NFL, even though he clearly is. It's going to be a handful for the Falcons defense, and I think the way that you stop Mike Evans is probably the way that you stop this, you try to stop this offense in general, which is getting pressure on Baker Mayfield, make him uncomfortable, don't let him do what he wants to do. And this Tampa Bay offensive line is missing a couple pieces, especially on that right side. That's the side that we've seen Matt Judon rushing on quite a bit, so I would be looking out for him. I think it's actually going to be more on Matt Judon as much as it is on any of these defensive backs, because you can only do so much against a guy like Mike Evans.
Joe Patrick's with us, guys, right down the street. Again, Wade Ford kicking off at 4. Is Bijan 100%? A lot of guys here at the Nest at the Signia asking us about it. You know, he's listed as questionable with a hamstring, so Algier will probably get maybe a more balanced approach with the running backs tonight?
Perhaps. It could be the case. We talked to Bijan yesterday, and, you know, he definitely sounded like he wanted to play, like he's going to play. I expect him to be active tonight, but yeah, he said he's been dealing with a couple things. Obviously had the hamstring and a shoulder, so, you know, that's kind of the life of a running back, though. It's kind of crazy the amount of damage these guys go through. I kind of think about it like a fighter, like a combat sports. You talk about going through a fight that's like taking damage. It's almost like that with a running back as well in the NFL, and you got to be able to manage your way through a season, you know, getting around that. And I think that that's why it's so important that the Falcons have two guys that can carry the load, that have proven that they can be kind of your primary back if need be. And I frankly would like to see more of Tyler Algier. I think that we haven't seen him as much as I thought we would. And I think that when he's played, especially most recently, he's shown exactly why so much people have confidence in him, is because he has that contact balance. He has that that consistent ability to gain yards because of his style. He's just not going to be a guy who gets you behind the chains very often. And so he feels reliable in that sense. And if the Falcons need to turn to him more tonight because of what's going on with Bijan, or if they just want to, you know, change up some tendencies and things, I think he's obviously a good back to go to. And I think in a game, you know, when you're talking about in the first half of an NFL season playing on Thursday night, you can never really expect that you're going to be at your very best, that you're going to look great the way that you play. And I think that Tyler Algier will have a big part in, if this thing is ugly, and just getting the Falcons across that line, because the only thing that matters out of this game is that you just come away with the win.
Joe Patrick, we figure out these third down woes tonight. One of the worst teams right now. I heard Ross say, you know, look, it's a couple of third down conversions, and from a percentage standpoint, we're one of the better teams in the league. But that's not where we are. Do we figure it out tonight against the Bucs?
Yeah, I know. This team is last in the NFL in third down conversion rate. They're second to last in plays run per game. They're only running 53, a little over 53 plays per game, and the reason is because you're not converting on these third downs. So this team has been able to pick up some explosives in their offense, but really, in order to score touchdowns in this league, you've got to be able to convert those third downs, especially in the red zone. It's something that Kirk Cousins pointed to today, when we spoke to him yesterday, which was that a lot of these third downs are coming in these red zone areas, and, you know, they just got to convert there so that they can ultimately score more touchdowns. And so it's obviously a huge point of contention for this team. And the thing that's funny about it, or I don't know if this is funny for them, but it's like you can't really pin it down to one thing. It's not like, oh, well, it's just the passes are inaccurate, or, oh, we're just like not getting the pass protection. It's this, it's that, it's a penalty.
Penalties.
It's like all these different things, and they just got to clean up their game overall.
Smoking Joe Patrick, guys. He'll be part of the Wade Ford tailgate show coming up at 4 right here on 92.9 The Game. Yeah, we've been going round and round about Kyle Pitts. It's gone. We've got national columns been written about it. They're talking about on NFL Network. The usage rate, all that starts, Joe, because of what you just said. You're missing out on 15 to 20 plays, so you don't get a chance to get Pitts those extra touches in the red zone or get more for Bijan on a wheel route or things like that. I'm still not sold. Carl and I disagree about Cousins. I still don't think he's even close to where he needs to be. I just showed you he's good enough to where he can put something together like what you saw on Monday night against the Eagles. Mm. Where do you fall on Kirk? Is it a combination of him getting familiar with these guys? It's week 5. Or Robinson getting familiar with what he can and can't do?
Yeah, I think he's not at his best yet for sure. And, you know, it was funny, I was listening earlier to John Gruden's got this YouTube channel now, which is absolutely great, and he broke down this game, and he talked about, you know, Kirk, these are kind of like preseason games for him, these first 4 games of the year. You would like to actually play your preseason games during preseason, but that was obviously was not the way that this coaching staff wanted to go about it. So I do think that this has been a little bit of a a feeling out process for him and for his connection with some of these other guys. And, you know, for example, like what is, you know, his connection with Kyle Pitts or lack thereof? You know, it's taken a lot of people by surprise, but I think it's because Kirk has said, you know, that's just the way I go where the read takes me. And so far, the read's been taking me to some other players. And he even talked about after the game last week where it's like, yeah, I actually forced the ball to Kyle sometimes where I shouldn't have, even though he only got three targets. And then there were other times where I could have hit him when he was open, and I just didn't see him, and that's on me. So, and there was also that one in Philadelphia right at the end of that first half where he was open underneath, Kirk didn't see him, threw the ball away, and that could have been a touchdown for Kyle. So there have definitely been some moments. But, guys, I got to say, with this whole Kyle Pitts conversation, I'm encouraged by the fact that, you know, this is no longer a conversation about Arthur Smith, which I felt like was kind of overshadowing the actual conversation that we can have about the player and whatever his strengths and shortcomings might be, and how ultimately they can get him the ball.
I'm with you. And by the way, I mean, listen, I hope we win tonight. I hope he balls out.
Right.
But if this continues, now you're telling me two regimes, two different offensive coordinators, two different systems, and there's no production. Some point you got to look yourself in the mirror. And I don't know if we're there yet, but at some point that's got to happen. It's Joe Patrick. We're talking about our Falcons and Bucks. Tell us what you think, how this plays out tonight. Do we run the football effectively? We contain, you know, Vita Vea, and Lindstrom does a really good job on him. They don't get as much pressure on Kirk. Kirk has a big night. Tell me what happens.
Yeah, you know, I'm expecting an ugly game. And, guys, I think the winner of this game is going to be the team that comes out and just has that aggression, that intensity, that energy, just that little extra that you need to get you through. It's been interesting to kind of be around the facility this week and just kind of see that this is a struggle for some of these guys, you know, just naturally. You play in football, it's an extremely physically intensive, obviously, and then to turn around from a Sunday to a Thursday, I think it helps a lot playing this game at home, and I think that the Falcons are really going to need to feed off of that energy in the crowd. That's, you know, talking about energy within the team. I think the fans have a good part to play in this game tonight and hoping to build them up to get them so that they have that extra that they need. And I do think that they are going to lean on Tyler Allgeier in this ground game quite a bit. And for me and for this team, I think they don't care about how it looks. The most important thing is just get the win, these important division right. wins against your rivals, get those home wins early in the season. That way you can kind of, you know, have a positive attacking posture going into the rest of your schedule throughout the season.
We know how good the Bucs defense is. We know about Matthew Judon. We got to get somebody else along with Judon getting some heat. You know, we talked about the evolution of Ebikadi and the other guys. You know, Lorenzo Carter kind of is what he is. We just found out from Adam Schefter that apparently we broke Taysom Hill's ribs last week.
Well, I guess somebody did hit him.
Yeah, so I mean, when I say we, the royal we, the Falcons did hit him.
I was like, put a hat on this guy.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's lived, you know, he's been terrorizing us for years. What about, though, the pass rush? And because we beat Jalen Hurts, he got his yards. He certainly, you know, Baker Mayfield's going to move around in the pocket. He's going to get his. But do you feel this is a high-scoring game? Over-under is 43. I think Vegas doesn't trust our offense. You think we get into like a in the 20s on this, like maybe a 27-24 and go over? Or you think it's going to be a lower-scoring game?
I got to say, I kind of think the under. And that's not because, you know, I don't think this team can score points, but it is kind of, you know, I'll start believing it more when I see it, this team scoring touchdowns. They've only scored 5 offensive touchdowns in 4 games, which, you know, goes back to what we were talking about with the struggles that Kirk has had in this opening month and just this offense in general, the way how fluid it's been or lack thereof. But I kind of think that these Thursday night games, especially this early in the season, are just kind of, you know, they're just ugly, you know,
and survive
and
in advance
get through them. But yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. And I do think, and when you talk about the pass rush, exactly, the Falcons team has not generated a ton of pressure so far this year. When you look at the stats, you can say that that's partially down to the kinds of quarterbacks they've been facing, these mobile guys. But that is going to be a very, very important part of this game with Tampa Bay, you know, shorthanded there, especially on their right side of the offensive line, is going to be the area for the Falcons to attack.
Joe, great stuff. Look forward to hearing you guys, you and John, on the Wait For Tailgate Show coming up in about 25 minutes from now when Mike and I get done. So appreciate you stopping by. Let's get a good one tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Joe Patrick here with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to come back. Mike and I are going to break down some of the things we're looking for tonight. Mm-hmm. And also a couple of updates, man, around the sports world, including our thoughts on the Braves if you missed it to start the show.
Oof.
4 minutes with Dukes and Bell before we hand things off for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Yeah.
Thanks to the folks here at the Nest on the 4th floor of the Signia Hotel by Hilton. Mike, a couple of things, and then we'll talk about our Falcons. One, We started the show talking about this. Obviously, the offseason for our Braves starts, and we have a big offseason in front of us because we've got to get back to where we were just a few years ago. The core is intact, but we have some major decisions to make. But we said this, Braves fans, we should be very proud of our team and the way they responded considering all the circumstances. During the season, you don't make excuses. You play. But now we can reflect, and let's just be honest, nobody had to overcome more adversity than this Braves team. So from that standpoint, Mike, I hated to see it last night, but this is why I didn't feel good about going into this series with the Padres. They are a much better place than we were. They have more star power. They're playing better baseball, and you saw it last night.
Well, I mean, you felt good with Max Fried until Max Fried gets hit in the hip, and all of a sudden, there you go. And just as you said earlier, what a more fitting way to end this season with not having Chris Sale able to go, and then Max Fried gets nailed. So it's just, you know, you can't win for losing. One thing for certain, they've got to tighten things up. There's pieces that are not working. I think a lot of Braves fans. It was a nice, inexpensive option after Dansby left, but Arcia is not worth the price of admission. He can't hit. Murphy can't hit. I think it's just time to say, call it what it was. You blew the Contreras trade. We don't blow many trades in Atlanta historically, but Murphy just can't hit. Yeah. He just doesn't hit.
Yep.
And I think at the end of the day, we wanted to see Travis d'Arnaud out there because he can give you a spark. Matt Olson's got to get some clutch. Now, I don't know, you can't manufacture that. Last year, this team should have gone to the World Series. Last year, we blew it against the Phillies, and then you can't take it for granted. As you said, you're going to get right back there. But we do have the core. Pitching. Is Fried gone? You know where you're bringing Morton back, right? So that leaves you with...
Well, he would answer the question last
night. And it's an emotional moment, too. And
it is.
And his agent would tell him not to answer something like that, you know, while you're full of some emotion. But again, Chris Sale...
Snicker answered it.
Ronaldo Lopez, Schwellenbach. Who's going to be 4-5?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. If I'm Max Fried, you guys didn't... I've been one of your more reliable pitchers. Yes, I've had some injuries, but you never gave me a contract, and you're throwing contracts around everybody else, so I'm out of here. That's the way I'd be, and it's business. And this is the only chance Max Fried has to get a big, big contract. You know it.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah, and I'd love to see him back. I said it, 6 months ago. Sign him, get it taken care of.
Not the way AA operates.
It did not happen. And that's fine. Again, it doesn't mean that they won't get a deal done if he really wants to be here. No, the emotional thing I'm with, the Charlie Morton thing, I'm not sure what's going to transpire there. If he wants to come back, Mike, for a reasonable price, and that's – you got to understand in consideration with where baseball salaries are, I think they'd be willing to do it based on what they have as starting pitching. But we're going to see.
And what is Strider going to be? You know, guys always say, you don't mention Strider because we don't know when Strider's coming back.
No.
And how effective he's going to be. Is Strider going to be a 100-mile-an-hour guy again? Is that going to be part of the arsenal? I don't know.
I don't know either. A couple of news notes, and then we're going to tell you what we think about the Falcons before we get out of here. Real quick, Davante Adams, you know those trade rumors are out there this week. He said, I want to be traded. Well, it's come out now. He wants to be dealt to the Jets. He is open to other teams, but that is his number one wish list.
Apparently, the Saints are on that short list. The Jets are there. Certainly, you understand he wants to go with his boy, Derek Carr. Aaron Rodgers and him made beautiful music together in Green Bay. And if the Jets can come up with the equity, they're looking for a second-round pick. I remember Randy Moss went for a fourth-rounder, but I think the Raiders are going to stick to it. We'll see where it goes. Maybe it's a third-rounder and maybe some conditional picks. But, yeah, it's untenable in Vegas. The Jets, how much leverage do they have on this deal? We'll find out. They're still going to sign Hassan Reddick or get him on the roster. Yeah. He's not there.
Get rid of
him. But it sounds like, yeah, Davante Adams to the Jets makes a lot of sense. Couple of guys here at the bar. There's a father and son from Park City, Utah. And they're kind of cool. They're doing this tour. They just came from MetLife. They're here in Atlanta. Catch the Falcons game. They're going to be watching the Broncos. They're big Broncos fans, too. And they're asking me, who's the player to watch tonight? And I said, well, I want to say Bijan. Is Bijan going to be 100 tonight?
I don't know.
How many touches? Because he's a little low last week.
Well, traditionally I've said between 15 and 18 touches a game. I don't know if he's there tonight. As we said, maybe more Tyler Allgeier. What do you think happens tonight, Mike, before we get out of here?
I'm going to go over. I'm going to say, 43.5. I'm going to go over. I'll say 27-24. How's that? That's 51 points. I did the math.
Field goal game, we win.
Yeah, another coup field goal, but are we going to see all those overs that we talked about? Overs for Drake London receiving. Over, was it 21 attempts for Kirk Cousins?
Correct. 21.5.
Are we going to get Baker Mayfield on the ground? Just like Jalen Hurts, he's going to get his yards. Can you minimize the bleeding when Baker starts to pick it up and put him down?
Yeah, I like our team tonight, too. I think this is another must-win spot for us. We can talk about home games, building on what we did last week, putting yourself in a position to really be in the driver's seat when it comes to this division. They are banged up, and we got to take advantage of it, but we also have to get back to running the football, and I think that's going to be key tonight. So I like us to win. We're talking about it with you guys tomorrow here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and, of course, stay tuned. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show leads you into the Falcons pregame show. Obviously, Dave and Wes will have all of the action for you tonight, so make sure you stay tuned. All right, Jersey Mike, great job, and Big O back at the station. Let's get out of here and clear our throat. Thanks to Rick Stroud. You heard from him, Tampa Bay Times, talking about all the things going on with the Bucks. That interview is online at Odyssey.com. Thanks to Joe Patrick for stopping by as well. Tomorrow, we hope we're talking about another Falcon victory. It is a Falcon Friday. Make sure you are here. All right, Mike, we got to get out of here, man. It's time to clear your throat.
Spent a lot of time this week talking about the Ocho, Kyle Pitts. And it's funny, I was talking to a couple of guys at the bar. Like, what's up with Pitts? Can we get this on track? You know, a guy writes an article in, I guess, SB Nation. It doesn't make it gospel. He just points out some things about, here's the schematics. It really didn't fit Arthur Smith's plan. Really didn't fit what Zach Robinson did with the Rams offense, if you go back to Sean McVay. And does Kyle Pitts put the work in? Is the effort there? Maybe it's all of the above. One thing for certain, he's a fourth overall pick. He's got to be a part of this offense moving forward. Let's hope tomorrow we're talking about Kyle Pitts being a factor in the red zone. Hey, give me five catches. Come on, do something, Kyle Pitts. Let's end this narrative by doing your job.
You know, you got to give the people you love and the people you care about in their lives their flowers while they're here. That's going to happen tonight, Matt Ryan. I don't know if we'll get another chance to say thank you or clap our hands and wish him the best, but tonight's that opportunity as he goes into the ring of honor. I don't know where you stand on Matt Ryan. But he was damn good. And I'm happy to see him go into the Ring of Honor, Mike. The next step for him will be the Hall of Fame. But sometimes, Atlanta, we just got to say thank you.
Right on.
Matt Ryan, thank you. If you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't.
You're wearing a Desmond Ritter jersey tonight?
What?